Okay, so thanks very much, Phil, for meeting with me today.
No worries.
It's a great
worries.
Pleasure and an honour.
Thank you.
I just wanted to know if we could start off by sort of finding out how things are with you, obviously since the end of Orbital.
No, that's cool.
What you're up to at the moment.
No, it's cool. I mean, basically, you know, Orbital, it was just like a chapter ending, really, in a way. You know, I mean, me and my brother, you know, we're going off separate ways sort of thing. You know, he's just had twins and he wants to sort of concentrate on those a bit, which is fair enough, you know, which is, you know, that's his choice, really. So he didn't want to go on tour anymore. And it was just like a combination of lots of different things, really, while we sort of closed that chapter. But I thought it was good. It was quite good to sort of actually have a finish rather than just sort of not say anything, do you know what I mean? And it was really good over the summer, you know, having lots of farewell gigs and Glastonbury and everything like that.
Yeah.
So it was really go out with a bang. It was really nice. And so now for me, I've hooked up with a mate of mine. I've still got my studio down in Brighton where we recorded, Orbital recorded the last couple of albums. That's always been my little studio. And I've hooked up with a mate of mine called Nick Smith. And basically, at the time, actually, when we sort of decided to close Orbital, we didn't have anything planned to do any last gigs or anything like that. So I sort of panicked a bit and thought, oh God, what am I going to do? You know, it's like having your right arm chopped off all of a sudden, off by a crocodile or something. And so people kept saying to me, why don't you go out DJing? You know, and basically I thought, well, no, I don't, because I've never learned that skill, really.
Right.
And so, and then push came to shove, and I thought, well, actually, you know, I'll give it a go. And it's a bit like faking it in that sense with a cellist sort of did a, you know, and I thought, well, I don't know. And I got myself some secondhand decks, and I sort of practiced a bit of beat matching, you know, and I've, you know, and I must admit, I just thought it was going to be quite low key, you know, sort of do a gig here and gig there. But obviously, I didn't realise the sort of, obviously, Phil Hartnell from Orbital gets higher slots, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I didn't think about that at all, you know, and I am very conscientious, and I don't want to be like a fake, really, you know, but I just went for it anyway, and my mixing was really, really dodgy at the beginning. It really was, and I've learnt my trade that I jumped in at the deep end, really, and I'm not technically, you know, I'm getting a lot better. You know, I really am, and it's not for want of practice or anything. You know, I practice hell, you know, out of it, because it's just embarrassing when you just fuck up a mix, basically. But it was jumping at a deep end, and basically, it had many little reasons. I mean, I thought I'd get back to basics, get out there and do that sort of thing. There was the financial side, whereas, you know, with Orbital, I've made enough money to buy a house, but I'm not a millionaire like people may think, you know, which would have been nice, you know, but I've got, like, family, I've got three kids and a wife to support, and so it was sort of like, oh, you know, let's do that, you know, like there was a necessity there, rather, you know, but it's actually, since starting it and doing it, it's got many strings to the bow, really, in the sense that I'm searching for new music, which I never have done before, you know, and being a DJ, you know, I'm searching. I do love the breaks, the party breaks, the sort of things I always have done, you know, hence got Plump DJ to remix out a track of ours many years ago, you know, and you know, and you've listened to Impact and things like that, like I was saying earlier, it's just, you know, that's what floats my boat, really. Since the sort of break scene came along, I thought, well, you know, that's where I veered towards, you know, so like I was saying, back to the DJing thing, you know, I thought it's had many benefits, actually, you know, and I've searched for new records, and I like being in that position to have to search, because I'm conscientious and I want, you know, and also the most inspirational thing, really, of making music is other people's music, really, and so it sort of spurred that sort of side of things on as well, you know, and now back to present, you know, I've got my studio and I'm working with my mate Nick, who he comes from a more of an advert world, actually, which is a bit interesting, because every now and again we have a pop at an advert. We've never got one yet, but it's you have a go, and you get, and I love putting sound to image.
Yeah.
You know, I've done a score before. It was not a very good film called Octane. But I don't even know where it came out. It probably came out in a few cinemas. But it was very interesting because it's a totally different discipline, you know. Yeah. And doing the adverts is like a day. You spend a day. And what I find is that you get a brief. It's a collaboration when you're doing something to visual because you're collaborating with the creators that made the image, you know.
Yeah.
So it's, and I like working with other people, and sometimes you end up sort of going off in an area that you never would have gone before, do you know what I mean? Mm. Which is, it's a nice little project, really. That's the way I look at them, you know. And if you get one, well, that's great because that's a bit of money. And then, but if you, you know, like I say, I haven't got any yet, but I've got a couple of tracks out of it. I know there's definitely two tracks that I've got for demoing for adverts. Mm-hmm. That I'm going to expand and work on and make a couple of good tracks out of it, really. Mm-hmm. And then the basic idea, because I've been out DJing and having it, is sort of like to do some more breaky sort of stuff.
Right.
Which I'm beginning to enjoy. I mean, I demoed one tonight, sort of just what I did this week, which was quite interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, because you do find out what is wrong with it, and it's a brilliant position because you can go out there like I did this week, you know. Watch go it. Out and try it out on a big sound system and the crowd, you know. So it's a great position to be in. So it's got many advantages with DJ Lark, really.
I was going to ask you actually, how obviously going out and playing your music in the past has usually. Mm. 9 times out of 10 has always been performing always, to large crowds, doing a full live set. And how does that kind of compare?
It's different because that's another thing that I never considered before DJing, really. Because, you know, as going out as Orbital, doing a gig, people come there to listen to Orbital, and that's all we play, obviously. You know, and so when I'm DJing, it's like, wait a minute. It's like, you know, and obviously Phil Hartnell from Orbital, that people do, it varies actually from where you go. I normally start with an Orbital track and suss out the crowd and see what's going on, really. And some places people just like, what, bothered, you know, about Orbital. And some other places just want pure Orbital. Mm. And so it's a bit of it's a bit difficult sometimes to squeeze my brakes in there, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what... And obviously, I'm never going to get rid of that because that's who I am,
yep.
You know, and I wouldn't want to either, but, you know, it would be nice to... That's why I want to produce a few more sort of disco tracks, really, mm-hmm. sort of to get in that world a bit more, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And have like an extension from Orbital, really, and in my own right, mm-hmm. really. And that's the sort of idea, really. And to do, knock up some sort of 12s and things like that. And also, I want to do an LP project. I want to do the LP because I'm not sure whether Brake's albums actually work, do you know what I mean? Because
right.
they are good as 12 inches, you
yeah.
know. And Brake, you can do it, I think you can do it as a nice mixed compilation or something that you put on, you know, and it sort of makes it sort of not quite coffee table, but it's got a continuity with it within, you know. But I think I want to do like an LP that's a bit more sort of. Very, you know, a bit more like Orbital, I suppose, in the sort of mixture of styles, and rather than just do like an LP of 12-inch.
Yeah. So some stuff that can work in a club environment, but also that you can throw on at home and listen to. And it's
I think it's more going to be. I think I'm going to concentrate more for an album. It's more like that you would listen to, really.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe you know, there's always going to be the beats and stuff in there. I think. But I don't know. That's the idea, anyway. Well, at the moment, as we stand, you know.
I wanted to go back a little bit further, if you don't mind.
No, not at all.
And just ask about when Orbital first started off, and what was it that kind of inspired you and Paul to kind of start?
Well, it's the sort of thing, you know, you're living in a boring little village in Kent, you know, and you sort of haven't got much else to do, really, and you're really into music. You know, I mean, I first got into hip hop really, and before house music, and as the time during while I was getting into sort of like hip hop, I was into people like I suppose like there's a lot of guitar-y music, a lot of indie music. I was first generation punk, and I don't know, I just loved music really, and then it sort of became a bit. There was electronic elements here and there. That's why I like hip hop, and I obviously like you know you go through the 80s. You know, you got Depeche Mode and everybody, you know, New Order and And also going a bit further back, you've got Kraftwerk and people, you know, and it was just the sound of the synthesizer, really. That's what got me, the sound. It's like, Jesus, where's that? How's that? What's that sound? You know, it's unheard of sounds before, really, that interested me. And it was just through a healthy interest, really, and by then more curiosity, you know, thinking, oh, what's a synthesizer? What's that? Let's go and buy one, you know, and see what. And me and my brother just enjoyed the same sort of things. And my parents had left the home, really. They left the home that my brother was living in to run a pub in the neighbouring village. And so we had a lot of space to set up a little studio. And it just made sense to put our equipment together and sort of copy things that we enjoy. But obviously, when you start copying, you end up with your own twisted sort of version of it, really. You know, so. And that's all it's, you know, very innocently and started off that way, really. Right. And then Acid House came along. We just thought, well, because we've been listening to a lot of high energy and gay disco music, really, in a way, before it was, you know, Bobby O and people like this. And when somebody came with the tape saying, oh, listen to this new music house, you know, it didn't really impress us in that sense, because it was a combination of everything that we've been listening to anyway. But what I did enjoy about that, the fact that it had a branding, it was a name, there was house, oh, it was house music or acid house music, you know, and it was very exciting because it seemed like it had a genre of its own, you know, so it was very interesting, you know. And going to sort of the old Clink Street, you know, and acid house and Stroge and Smoke and Darkness and, you know, and obviously the birth of ecstasy as well, which sort of helped hurry things along.
Yeah.
You know, it was great. That's what I like about the breaks, though, actually, because I think the sort of stuff that I like, the party break. I mean, I love a bit of moodiness every now and again as well. But the party breaks, they've got that. It's got that same sort of energy that back in sort of 1990 had about acid house. It had that same sort of innocence about it and fun, sense of fun, really.
Yeah.
And not snobby. Yeah. And that's why I enjoy it, really. It's got a very, very sort of similar atmosphere.
Obviously, across the span of the time that you were doing the Orbital thing, across all the albums, you've worked with many, many different, collaborated with quite a few different vocalists and things. And how did, I wonder if you could just touch on how some of those came about. Obviously, there's the likes of Kirsty Corkshaw, Alison Goldfrapp, of course.
Alison Goldfrapp, she's a mate, actually. She's a good mate of mine. And I saw her, a friend of mine knew her, and I went to see a degree show, art degree show.
Right.
And she was dressed up as a milkmaid, and she had a Jersey cow there. And some guy in the background mucking about with samplers, and she was yodeling, and it was like, this is fucking, you know, like end of degree art shows, you know, they're so bizarre. And it was so bizarre that I just loved her soon, and I just heard her voice, and she's such a brilliant singer, she's so perfect pitch, she's the best singer I've ever worked with, really. And so I just used to encourage her, really, and come round and have a jam and have a muck about, really. It always used to annoy me that she never sung lyrics with us. It was always whoa, whoa, right. You know. And then when she gets into Goldfrapp, she's got lyrics popping out of her ears. It's like, you bitch. No, but I'm glad she's done well. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. She has, and she deserves so as well. So that's good.
One of my personal favourite Orbital tracks is Illuminate.
Dave Gray?
Of course, with David Gray.
He's my brother-in-law.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, right. that's how that came about, actually. Right. He's my wife's sister's white husband.
Oh, right.
So he's a sort of brother-in-law once removed or something.
So it's kind of inevitable that
it was
going to happen.
Well, you know, it should have done, shouldn't it? Yeah. I mean, I loved him from the beginning, you know, and I used to follow him around, one of his biggest fans, really, and used to follow him around in the most diviest places. And I just thought it was great, you know, and then, yeah, inevitability, you know. And we worked with him before he was David Gray.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, it's good.
If I can put you on the spot, do you have a favourite Orbital track?
Oh, no, somebody else asked me that tonight. No, I can't really. I mean, I've got a few favourites, and it's a bit of a boring answer, really, but they're all such, like photographs, you know, and different times, different moods, and it's all, you know... So, no is the boring answer, really.
That's fine. Yeah. That's fine. You touched on earlier the octane score.
Yeah.
Was it always... Well, I haven't seen the film, so I can't comment.
No. It's not that bad. Really.
Was it always a... something that you wanted to get into?
Yeah, it's a funny world. It's a funny world of film, because even though you've done produced albums, it's such, like I say, it's such a different discipline. People are really scared of, you know, and the director really, you know, I really appreciate the chance that we got, because we've been trying for years, actually, and just to do a whole score, because we've done scenes here and scenes there, and the theme, you know, and the cover version of The Saint and all that sort of thing. But
things like the beach.
Yeah, and that, yeah, it's just a way of trying to get involved, really. You know, and even though you've got all that under your belt, it's still hard for somebody to take the chance on you. You know, and they did, which I appreciate, really, and it was a good learning experience.
Okay. I've always seen, from my time listening to Orbital stuff, that there's always been very much a, as well as the acid house kind of influences and things, there's always been the breakbeat side of things, yeah, as well. I mean, what do you kind of make of the current artists that are coming through in breakbeat?
Oh, I love it.
Scenes.
You know, I love it, because obviously I am old enough to sort of like be sort of tired of it, I suppose, somebody might think, but I'm not at all, and it's all. You know, I can obviously pinpoint influences that people have had, and obviously it's a new generation, you know, it's like another 10 years younger than me, who've been influenced by totally different things, you know, and it's quite interesting from my point of view, because, I don't know, I can see it, you know, like a lot of the breaks now, I've got a heavy influence with drum and bass, you know, and jungle, and they've had that, do you know what I mean, and that you say you've got the benefits of lots of different styles that have come through, do you know what I mean? And it's great, because obviously, you know, every now and again you get an odd electro-y sort of vibe, do you know what I mean? That people, and some people, you know, like that Prodigy track, that Cash Money, you know, I was around when that first came out, and it's like, obviously there's loads of people that have never even heard that before, and they think, oh, that's a new thing.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm quite interested in. It's like, oh, God, that's a fucking sample, isn't it? It's like, yeah, Cash Money, yeah, you know. And they go, what is a sample? What? You know, it's like, yeah, it's a fucking record. I got it on my Electro 2 album or whatever it was, you know. And it's like, you know, and I love that, though. You know, it's just a different angle, and it's a, you know, very open-minded about it, really. You know, I'm not snobby. I hate that sort of snobbery.
Yeah.
You know, because it's just, no, what's snobby about music? It's just, I can't see the point. It's about people planning, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I can't understand that at all, really, because it's just a form of snobbery, really, which is, I'm dead against being an old punk, you know.
Are there any particular artists that you're particularly fond of at the moment?
I fucking love Actus Guy.
Right.
I love what they do. I'm doing a collaboration with them, actually, at the moment. Right. They've got a great little project going. It's like a collaboration. They've got Tao, they've got Lisa Lushes, is that her name?
Lisa Lashes,
yeah. They've got her, they've got... Who else is on there? Oh, Freak Nasty's doing one. I'm sure Backdraft or Breakfasters, one of those two.
Yeah.
I love those two bands as well. I love these sort of really hard. I love the soft stuff as well, but I love the that tune. Is the Backdraft one with the ragga, the toasting sort of girl.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of epitomises. You know, you've got the hard, and then you've got the raggery sort of vocal. That's what I'm into, that sort of vibe at the moment. I mean, I didn't play it tonight, but there's that other one. I forget, somebody else just done a remix of it. When they go rock to the rhythm. Do you know that rock to the rhythm? You know, I've been playing the original one of that. I think it was somebody's remix of it, though. But for ages, you know, that sort of style. I love that mixture, really. The ragga vocals,
yeah.
But you know, it's there's so much out there, though, isn't there? And it's, but I do like, I must say, I'm sort of, and also it's a bit, it's sort of come about, really, that like the style. I mean, I do like those full-on hard tracks, but it's sort of like you know, like I was saying before, because I'm Phil Hartnell from Orbital, you know, you get up, put up in this high, you know, sometimes I find like I'm fucking headlining somewhere, and it's like, oh my God, you know, this is like too much pressure, I can't take it, you know. And so, but you're at that peak time, do you know what I mean? And for me, when I'm sort of down on the dance, I just think, what, yeah, you know, I want to sort of have it, really,
yeah.
You know, and that's so, it's sort of chicken and egg, really, as well, you know, on that sort of front.
Every year we seem to, it seems to be in the media, it's all going through message boards and everything, that this year is going to be the year for breakbeat. Because it's obviously, you know, it's very much an underground thing at the moment, and it, I think there's kind of a split camp. Some people want it to go, you know, more mainstream, so you get more people in the club, in the breaks, nights, you know, so that we can all do a little bit better. Some people want to keep it really underground. What's your sort of take on that?
This sort of like underground thing is sort of like, I stopped becoming underground with our first hit, Chime, because it was a hit.
Yeah.
And then you're not underground anymore. It's like, oh, fuck you, then I'm blowing you, you're not underground. It's like, that's the sort of, yeah, that sort of underground, you know, when people go, oh, it's not underground anymore, don't like it. It's like, well, that just does not compute with me. It's like, oh, it's not underground, therefore I don't like it anymore. How can you switch taste by a culture, what you think a cultural view of something is? I don't understand that, because music is emotional. It's got nothing to do with labels or judgmental on that. You know, like I say, we've stopped becoming, I didn't even know we were underground. Underground, it's like, what's that fucking mean? It's like unsuccessful. Do you know what I mean? Basically, it's like, well, does that mean that? Does that mean that? Or just like a few people? And it's a bit like that snobbery that I was talking about. It's like, we don't want to let anybody else know. Do you know what I mean? I don't understand that. If you enjoy something, it's like, and you meet somebody, it's like, oh, I haven't listened to this. This is, you want to introduce people to new things. And if you've read a good book, if you've seen a good film, it's the same thing. It's like, I don't understand it. And it's you know, and whether it's, you know, if it's going to be, if it's this year that it's going to go mainstream, well then, let's have it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it only means more people enjoy it, and they've been. It's only because they've not been exposed to it that they don't know whether they like it or not. Do you know what I mean? And if the more they get exposed to it, the more people like it. It's like, what's the problem here? I don't understand.
Okay. Lastly, what? I mean, you touched on it earlier, but what really is the future kind of hold for you?
Oh, just carrying on, really, just producing music and see. I mean, I've sort of given myself a couple of years and see, you know, I'm not going to flog a dead horse, you know what I mean? If nobody doesn't, you know, I'm not getting anywhere, or nobody, you know, people go, oh, I don't know about that. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to get anywhere, am I? So it's just, you know, for me, it's like starting, it's like a chapter's closed and a new one's begun, you know, and it's like you were saying, working with Glenn, you know, it's like, sometimes somebody dominates in the studio, which my brother dominated, and it's really interesting for me now, because it's like, wow, you know, there's so much to learn about the equipment, and I don't know, do you know what I mean? It's just, so not that I didn't know the you know, I know the basics, obviously, and I'm talking about depth, you know, there's things that are to be learned in depth, you know, which is very exciting. You know, and that's what spurs me on, the discovery of it all, really. It's like I'm starting, well, it's like, well, I am starting again, I suppose, in a way. Oh, yeah, well, I am. I mean, obviously, I've got a leg up. Do you know what I mean? I have, you know, obviously, and you know, and that's where I, you know, and people might get bit pissed off, because there's a lot of people that are much more technically better DJing than me, and they go, fucking hell. But I mean, this, wait a minute, I've put my time in. Give us a break. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I'm getting better.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, give us a break, for fuck's sake. You know, it's not as if I've just swanned in because I've won, you know, what's it, what, those hit programs on the telly or something, you know, I'm just fucking, you know, pop idol. You know, I've put my time in, I've been there, so it's like, fair enough, really. But, you know, let's just see, really. You know, it's quite exciting for me.
Absolutely. Oh, great. Okay, well, thank you very much.
No worries. It's nice to talk to you.
Great to talk to you. Thank you.
there we go. When Hi8 met Phil Hartnell.